You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702. World of Work.
World of Work is sponsored by, yes, the Youth Employment Service. Getting youth to work is everyone's business. Visit yesforyouth.co.za. And today we're going to have a fascinating conversation. You can rant for the next 30 minutes. Or maybe my guest will persuade you to not rent because she's a good counterexample. I want us to talk about HR. Jenny from HR, you know how much you don't like her. The Human Resources Department, why do they have a bad reputation? And what are your thoughts around HR folks in the company where you work? Are they simply there to do the bidding of the shareholders and the company owners? And secretly to mess you over, to screw with employers? Or are they honest brokers between the competing interests of employers, employees, and other stakeholders? Joining me for this conversation is you, most importantly. Give us a call. Tell me your stories. How is HR dealt with? You approaching them on a salary matter, some other matter, contractual issue? Have you had a good experience with HR across different parts of your work life? 011-883-0702, or maybe right now you have a little bit of tension between yourself and HR and you want to ask my guest for some advice. She will gladly assist. Edith Liuta, Human Capital Development Executive. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me, Eusebius, and hello everybody.
You don't look like you hate people.
I love people. That's why I'm not a vet.
And yet, HR is such an interesting part of a business organogram. Maybe let's start with HR 101. Mm. When you get appointed either as a consultant or as the new HR executive of Prime Media or some other company, what, in a nutshell, do you take your job to be?
Okay, so the role of human resources, because it's my profession, I also think is quite important in an organization. Mm. The reason why the role is important is because people are at the heart of any organization. Whether the organization provides services to people or internally and externally. So the internal customers of the organization, the people, are quite important, very important. The role of human resources is to align the objectives of the organization and bring the people with you in achieving those objectives. It is absolutely critical that the success of the organization is the success of the people and that it improves their standard of living. So when the company does well, its people ought to do well as well. So when I go into an organization, that is really the premise or the framework that anchors the work that I do, that we are people are at the heart of the business and that work is very important. It's what puts food on the table. Mm. But it's not the only important thing. So you want to create an environment where people can thrive and excel, where the policies are fair, where the culture of the organization enables you to meet your goal as well as an individual through the organization.
Obviously, one can't generalize unless you've done research that enables you to speak about generalities. And I'm sure maybe there are some studies that have been done about human resource services, say, in South Africa or a sector of our economy. Mm. But absent that, the experiences for you as an HR executive will differ from company to company. And for us as employees will differ from company to company as well. So I don't want us to generalize. There's going to be a diversity of experiences, no doubt, that people will call in with right now and share good and bad. And let's talk about the full spectrum. I would imagine and take over from here that in order for you to genuinely deliver to the letter and the spirit of what you've just outlined, the role of HR to be, that there are preconditions. And some companies you'd be able to pull that off as Edith easier than in other companies. Mm. So, for example, if you have bosses, massive shareholders, or someone who owns a company that is up their own behind, it must be difficult as an HR executive to faithfully execute all these wonderful things you've learned at HR school if you know that also you serve at the behest of the person that employed you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, we have our own local stories currently. Peter Moyo's story is a very good example of what do the old mutual policies say in an event such as this one, you know? And quite frankly, yeah, it would be nice to have the HR person from Old Mutual point. Come through and inform us on what their policy says when, you know.
But also how much space they get, and speak to me about that as honestly as you can.
Yeah.
You've had a long work career thus far in this field.
Mm.
Under what conditions have you find yourself being able to do your job as honestly as possible? Because there are also conditions that need to be in place in order for you to play that particular role in the way in which you've outlined. Otherwise, it's just theory.
Yeah.
So where it's worked well for you as Edith, what were in place in terms of the conditions? And I'm particularly interested here in your relationship with whoever might own a particular company or you report to yourself.
Okay. the relationships that I've had with organizations where I found that we've had success is organizations that are receptive and are attuned to the needs of their people, which comes with good leadership. So when you have poor leadership in an organization, unfortunately, it just permeates in the organization and it snowballs into the culture of the organization being toxic. So leadership is at the heart of a successful HR department, or you getting to optimize and maximize the people in your organization. It begins with good leadership. If the thinking is right in the organization and the leaders are in tune with the people and they want to take the people with them with the success of the organization, that's fertile ground for success.
Mm,
poor leadership is really what pollutes human resources.
Mm. How difficult in those bad scenarios, how difficult is it for you as part of HR, because these are the things that secretly we think as employees. So those of us who are skeptical about whether you are a fair referee on some of these difficult tensions that will creep in from time to time between us and the companies that hire us, how difficult is it for you to also, quote unquote, manage your own managers and the owners or the shareholders of a company? Because let's say, for example, I come to you with a complaint, a contractual complaint or sexual harassment or bullying, or I feel the company ought to pay for my professional development because they will benefit from me coming back from, I don't know, a secondment to Gibbs for 6 months, and they're not budging. It can't be easy to also hold leadership accountable when you yourself are an employee.
Mm, absolutely. I mean, you know, ultimately, it is about who pays the bill, right? I mean, I've had a conversation about this with colleagues of mine when we talk about chairpersons and their to be paid, because how fair are they, those people? And really, are they not influenced by the fact that they're going to invoice us and we're going to pay for them? You know? So that's a conversation for another day.
Okay, put your headphones on for me. Let's go to the lines. Lots of people intrigued already by this conversation, as I thought they would be. I want to know your experiences with HR. Are you having difficulties? Have you had good experiences, bad ones, or do you simply want advice from Human Capital Development Executive Edith that joins us? Matsadi, so good morning. Hello.
Hello. Hi, Eusebius.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you so much. I'm experiencing problems with my employer, actually my immediate bosses and his senior. And these problems have been happening over a number of years, that around May this year, I had to have myself admitted into a mental hospital because of the continuing bullying and lack of recognition at work. So during my stay at the hospital, both the psychiatrist and the psychologist recommended that I should be transferred from the unit that I'm working, but actually I should be made to work from another location because our company has got various locations. Another location from where the actual bullying and the abuse and the harassment did not occur. Now, my main problem now is that they are refusing to transfer me. And there seems to be some collusion with HR, because when I approached HR, they sent me back to my very boss who said that I shouldn't be transferred. For some reason, you know, from time to time, it depends on the mood that they're in. At times, they do not engage me. You know, 3 weeks would go by without having any engagement, and any of the submissions that I submit to them do not get their attention, sometimes for months on end. So I am told that I cannot be transferred from my post because I occupy one of the critical posts. So I'm at a point where I feel that my employer is basically telling me that I can go and hang myself despite the depression that I'm currently suffering and I'm trying to recover from. Is there anything, what kind of steps can I take to get assistance?
Thank you for calling in and for sharing your difficulties with us, Matadiso, and for hanging in there and also for talking through some of these issues and keeping open dialogue, if not with yourself, with, you know, at least in this case, we've got an expert here. Very difficult case there. But Edith, what comes up for you, you can speak directly to Matadiso.
Hi, TD, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. And yourself?
Kidding. All right, so that was a lot. So you said that it's been going on for several years. How many years, really?
It dates back from 2013. Yep. You know, there was a time when I lodged a grievance, and the grievance just did not go anywhere. And actually, I was promised that instead of, you know, going through the grievance procedure, I should allow them to mediate on my issue. And on the day of the mediation, all the senior managers who were supposed to be part of that mediation, including the very perpetrator, they did not rock up. And then, you know, I just had to bite the bullet and continue with my work. But these things have been bugging me over a
Are you in a unionized environment? Do you have a workplace forum? What's your status then, the organization?
I am in a unionized environment, but quite often, you know, more often than not, you find that the union is not, it's pro-management.
Okay. All right. That's also another perception and a conversation for another day. But I want to get us to a point where perhaps I give you some direction quickly, Osiri. So company policy is what we agree on. And those are the rules that govern and facilitate the relationship that we have. Okay. And company policy is also translated in our contract of employment because it talks about the values of the organization and how we are going to treat each other. Those are the terms and conditions of the relationship. Okay. So when you are in a fight like this and it's been going on for 2013, I can just imagine the stress and the toll that has taken on you. I mean, this is just a horror story listening to, you know. So when you are referring to an issue that's been so long outstanding, I think you do have to revert to the things that you signed on and what you agreed to. Because that's the thing about policy and that's the thing about having a contract with your employer, is that you've agreed to a certain standard of how you're going to treat each other. So you need to revert back to the policies of the organization because that's the standard that the organization has put in for itself. It needs to be a thing that, you know, you can't just ignore the fact that you've put in a grievance, the mediation did not happen. You do need to take them to task. Even if this means you write a letter to the CEO or the board, you know, I just think that in this particular instance, don't give up your fight, you know, and I hope that you do have support around you, but go back and interrogate those policies. Then if the policies are a sham, let the policies then be a sham. But ultimately, everything, Ostiri, is around people and the relationships that we do have with people. It sounds as though there is a toxic culture of just bullying, and it's just been going on forever, and it hasn't been addressed. So when you say that the managers, the senior managers, they have to report to someone and there is a board. And I am sure that there is no board that wants to know that their organization is toxic and that people are working under difficult circumstances and not thriving.
Tidi, before we let you go, just a quick one. You said that you feel as if HR is on the side of management. Mm. Tell us just very quickly, have you approached HR and what has been the content of the correspondence? And in your subjective experience, what has been their general demeanor and attitude?
Okay. Firstly, HR does not treat any matters with the confidentiality that it deserves.
Oh, no.
Once you take a complaint to HR, the very person that you are complaining about is the first person that will know that this is the kind of step that you want to take. Now, with regards to the issue of my transfer, which is a recommendation by my doctors, I wrote to my boss and my boss's boss, and they referred my matter to HR. No, I wrote to the head of HR, but I copied my boss and his boss to say that this is the approach that I'm taking. I'm approaching the head of HR, and the head of HR referred the matter to labor relations, and labor relations has now referred back the matter to the very people that I am having an issue with.
Okay, that's interesting. It's a very complicated case. We can't solve it all on air. You'd have to speak to Edith or someone like Edith off air for the full detail. But what Tidi is saying there about HR, we get that all the time. I can't tell you how often I've had people stopping me leaving this building with variations on that kind of complaint, labor matters, where the logical question when someone tells you about a grievance they have is, have you raised this with HR? And time and again, our listeners tell us, at least anecdotally, that Tidi's experience is one that they could be able to relate to.
You know, I find that there's a lot of misinterpretation of what happens with human resources. Even in hearings, where hearings are almost demi-trials, that's not how it's supposed to be, actually. I even don't like the language that we use when we talk about charges and verdicts and stuff like that, because we are not legal people. We are human resource, we are human resources people. And actually, our role stems from social sciences. Mm. It's psychology, it's sociology, it's all of those things that are important. I wonder, even with OCD's case, if HR got in the same room with the culprit that's bullying her, you know, and just had the conversation with them on what is going on. You know, because sometimes the, you know, you can go with the policy, but human beings are human beings. People need to sit down and talk.
Absolutely. Tumelo, good morning.
My name is Sidious. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, sir. Talk to us.
I have a big issue, a bit complicated. Mine is in relation to promotion. What happened is I applied for a post, having applied. Then, because the manager had issues with me, he then told people that he's going to deal with me. Then I heard that, and I immediately applied for a logic reason. Then the employer decided to undertake investigation. The indication is that they found wrongdoing on the side of the then manager, who was the chairperson. But now what has happened is that they are now saying that we can go for re-interview. But then the issue is this person must still be there. He's no longer going to be a chairperson. The person is going to form part of, but the issue is I'm going to be subjected to him judging me. How fancy is he going to be in this case?
Okay, interesting.
And they're insisting that this person, by the virtue of him being the manager, the incumbent is going to report to him. But the question is, in this case, how is he going to be said to us? And funny enough, they don't even want to share the report with me. But
Okay, we get the gist of it, Tumelo. How does Tumelo handle that matter where he wants to insist, in terms of natural justice, on a degree of fairness that surely he is due? How does one even approach that? I mean, obviously there's his version of the facts, but mm-hmm. let's take it as a bona fide description of what the scenario is. What does he say to HR? What is the strategy?
Okay, so ultimately, the people who make decisions on hiring are managers, not HR people. So I have to put it out there. HR people cannot promote, hire, and actually fire anyone. We don't have hiring and firing powers. Okay. What we can do in Tumelo's instance is that he will report to this person. And promotions are wonderful because we do want to progress in our careers. But how is the working relationship going to unfold if they are already not getting along? You know, because teaming is important in facilitating work. We work as teams in organizations. So if Tumelo could answer that question of how is he going to work with this person beyond just the promotion that he believes that he deserves, you know, because if you answer that type of question, then you can understand also the powers that human resources have. You can facilitate a conversation between the hiring manager and the potential candidate that's up for promotion.
But can he, I don't know, I mean, in your experience, honestly, mm-hmm. between you and your colleagues in the fraternity, mm-hmm. should he proactively or preemptively raise that concern with HR and say, look, these are my concerns about whether this is going to be a fair process of reapplication. Mm-hmm. And number two, even assuming I'm successful and right now I don't have faith that the process is going to be fair, how do we make sure that there's a congenial relationship once I get the promotion, if I get the promotion?
Yeah, the managers, just like human resources practitioners, are custodians of policy. We have a code. That's why managers go on all these fancy programs to develop their skill and behave in a manner in which facilitates the culture and promotes the culture of the organization. So the manager has a responsibility of acting fairly and justly and being honest, but the manager is a human being. Okay, so in this instance, I often say open and honest communication is important. Tumelo, have the conversation with the guy. Say to him, I really would like to have this promotion. And how I'm going to behave in the role is X, Y, and Z. And my expectation of the
leadership.
But
you know what the difficulty is though, Edith? And maybe we'll keep Edith, we'll squeeze in so many calls. I wish we had an hour. I'll abuse my relationship with Edith for just 10 more minutes, right? I like how you say some of these things are not best dealt with narrow legalistic concepts. I agree with you there. But if we put law aside, including labor law, and we talk about the reality of the workplace, then we're going to have to open up the can of worms around power dynamics, because there are hierarchies, even in companies that pretend in their brochures to have flat organizational cultures. In the real world, they are power dynamics. It's very hard for me to say to my manager, these are my concerns, and can we just have an honest conversation about how we're going to, in the interest of the company and whatever the value proposition is of this company, how are we going to make this thing work optimally? So I want us to just touch on that. And then Isabel and John, we're also going to get to your calls in a minute.
702, World of Work.
Yeah, so I was saying, Edith, that there's the reality of power, right? And I mean, that's a complex conversation. The one needs to workshop that. But just give me one or two top-line thoughts at least, radio sound bites. Because if someone comes to me, a junior producer doesn't have the power to go to a Eusebius, and I'm talking here real power. I don't care how much we pretend that there's an intellectual flat structure or even the organogram says, you know, there's equality. There's the reality of, this business has been in the industry for 20, 30 years. The same goes for a manager at a bank. My line manager has got de facto power that makes it very hard for me to be heard dispassionately by this person that might feel emasculated when I say to him, let's be honest, we've got a bit of tension here. I'm going to apply for this job. I'm going to report to you. How are we going to handle that? It's easier said than done to be able to walk into someone's office when power is diffused in our society and therefore in the world of work also so incredibly unevenly.
Yes, there's always a boss, isn't there? And I think it's so important that firstly you have to make a contract with yourself of what you are going to do and how you are going to respond to power.
Mm.
Okay. Because it really does begin with the self. And because I can't change you, Eusebius, if I report to you and you are my boss. But what I can do is learn how I'm going to respond to you when you are being a boss and it's impacting on me negatively. Because ultimately, me and you are employed by the same organization, you know. So the self, the person who's going through the power dynamic, really does need to prepare themselves and equip themselves with how they are going to respond. So it does begin with the self. And then we go to how you're going to then engage with the power person. You know, ultimately, it's important to set the standard of how you want people to treat you and how you treat people as well. Now, the boss can act like the boss and do what bosses do, but ultimately, it's about the job.
Mm.
Rate me on the output of my job and be fair about it as well, you know. Because when, like
but
I
said... But
that's
say, where it comes back to today's theme. I would have thought that HR is a friend of everyone in the company. But if HR must have a bias, it must be a bias in favor of the person with less power, the little person in the organogram. But that's not many people's experience of HR.
Mm. HR is supposed to keep the organization honest. That's why we are the custodians of the policy. You know, every society, every grouping has got rules, you know, and all we need to do is find a way in which we facilitate work within the parameters of the rules. And that's what HR people really do.
John, good morning.
Hello, Eusebius. Just a quick question to your guest.
Yeah, bo.
HR is in industry one of the divisions in business that has the highest rate of employment equity in the country. Now, what I mean by that, and I'll try and give an example, if you take the mining houses, you find at the mining sites, 60 to 70% is black HR management, right up until to the senior level. My question to your guest is, why is it that you have so much black management within HR, and yet when our employment equity figures comes out, it keeps on going backwards? And just a quick comment.
I love that question. I'll tell you why in a second. Yes, what's your comment?
Earlier, your guest stated that she does not like the formal part of a disciplinary hearing and the terms being used and all that. You know, the HR people must wake up and smell the roses. In this instance, is a hearing which has legal connotations. She should be promoting the staff members to, when they have a hearing, to make sure that they have very good representation at that hearing, because people get found guilty on a legal technicality and get fired because of people like Edith that promotes this buddy-buddy thing, and it is not the case.
Edith can speak for herself. Mm-hmm. I think the spirit of her point about the law, John, maybe I just like her because she's got a beautiful smile and she's a fantastic HR executive. But the way I heard her, and then the men can shut up and let the woman speak for herself, is South Africa has got what we refer to an adversarial legal system. We declare winners and losers.
Mm-hmm.
In that system, by the time a legal or a quasi-judicial process is set up, you have already introduced tension into the situation. And if you can avoid doing so, which is what good attorneys try and do, good attorneys, for example, think of themselves as problem solvers wanting to keep you out of the courts. And that is out of recognition that the law in South Africa is adversarial. And by the time you invoke the law, then a lot has already broken down, potentially even irretrievably. But Edith, you can speak to that point.
Yes.
Before I tell John why I was chuckling when on his very good first point.
All right. So the employment equity one, I'll leave it to Eusebius to answer.
Now, you'll answer it, but I'll tell you why I was chuckling.
All right. I want to come to in law and John talking about buddy-buddy. Okay. So perhaps what John could do is look at the Avril Elizabeth standard and see what the Avril Elizabeth standard is. It's a case in law in LRA in South Africa that I think you must familiarize yourself with. Because what it says is that actually hearings are not trial-like, and that the people facilitating those hearings are not legal practitioners, and that the aim of an inquiry is for you to reflect, to listen to what the person is saying, and to find a solution. Mm. That's what an inquiry is. Mm. It's not a trial. And yes, you do have to keep records of the conversation that you are going to have, because it's going to lead somewhere. It's going to come with with an outcome. Whether the outcome is a punitive one or a positive one, you do have to document that, and that's fine. But when you're talking about human resources and people management, hearings are not a trial. And the buddy-buddy system that you are talking about, it's not buddy-buddy. Is that it is a formal process, but it is not held to the same standards as a trial. Mm. And it should not be held at the same standards as a trial. That's why you have external tribunals such as the CCMA, bargaining councils, and so forth. So that if you feel aggrieved that it didn't happen the way you wanted to, you have recourse to then facilitate, then explore a more formal approach. Even the CCMA in itself is not a formal a tribunal, and it's not run like a court. The commissioner is not a judge. And the people in a conciliation, even in mediation, are not a legal people, if you understand. The CCMA in itself is not a court.
The reason I chuckled at John's first point, I thought that was really razor sharp from John.
Mm.
Because off-air, John, I don't know whether you were able to hear me here and whether you have devices planted in my studio. Edith and I were talking about Employment Equity Commission's report into these things. Mm. But he makes a very good observation. You, as a black woman, can't be particularly cheesed off at how slow the progress is demographically in terms of our staff complements in companies across the country. And yet you often dominated HR. Why are you not being the change that you want to see in terms of what the company profile look like?
Because I think...
Are you disempowered?
I think to a certain extent, to be honest, you know, I find there is a lot of frustration with HR practitioners, especially those who direct strategy with organizations and understand where the organization wants to go.
Mm.
The truth of the matter is that the reason why it's probably particularly more painful, the rate of transformation for HR executives such as myself, who are black, who are female, is that transformation in organization is slow, and mm-hmm. there's often an unwillingness sure. to transform. There are organizations to this day where the entire executive is white, and the only person who is black in the room is the HR executive.
And equally, black men often don't come to the party.
Oh, this is why I was saying that the employment equity report is quite interesting for us to dissect.
We'll do that. We'll do it fully in a outside of the world of work context. And then we can have a whole hour just focusing on that, Edith. Isabel, you've been very kind to hold on for so long. Thank you for your patience. Do share your story with us.
Thank you, CBS. I have a 22-year-old daughter. This is her second job that she has. She started in November. You know, she's been bullied. She works for a family-owned business, a small business, and they just treat them like dirt. They speak to them the way they want to. They scream and shout at them. And she's actually trying to build a career. She's a drafts person, and she's doing a practicals. What recourse does she have? Because today she's been diagnosed with anxiety and depression. Mm. She hasn't gone to work for 2 days, and for a 22-year-old girl, that is bad.
Mm. Oh, that's terrible, because this is really at the start of her career. This is, you know, at 22, you have your whole life ahead of you, and it's just absolutely criminal. And unfortunately, you know, the story with family businesses and small businesses is that often you just don't know what happens behind closed doors in those environments, you know? So in this instance, mom, and you sound so, you know, perturbed by this entire thing, I would be myself, is that, you know, the Department of Labor, I want to call on this and say, you can have her be an anonymous caller there, or somebody needs to call them to just come and do an inspection. You know, we do have inspectors, and I've actually run into a very nice inspector before. And just report them to the Department of Labor.
Blow a whistle.
You know, I think organizations such as those, especially the small ones and also the big ones, have just gotten away with not being accountable for their behavior and acting as though the people who work in the organization, they're doing them a favor. No. The employer needs the employee as much as the employee needs the 100%, employer.
100%.
You know, whistle blow that organization. Report to the Department of Labor. Let a labor inspector come out there and check what's going on there.
And put daughter's health first.
And put your daughter's health first. Absolutely. You know, no job is more important than your youth. She has her whole life to look forward to. And in fact, in this particular instance, I'd even say let her get out of there. There are other opportunities. There have to be. That cannot be the answer.
Ida, thank you for your humanity and expertise. If people want to get hold of you, how can they do so?
Okay, I'm on edith@enele.co.za.
Enele.
Yeah, Enele.
E-N-E-L-A.
L-E.
L-E. Enele.
Yeah, Enele.co.za.
Okay, that's edith@enele.co.za. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, CBS.